Welcome back, Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor. Really happy to have with me once again Patrick Highsmith, and he is here to give us an update on Timberline Resources. Patrick is an exploration geologist who has spent much of his career with major mining companies like Newmont Mining, BHP, Rio Tinto, Fortescue Metals. These are the giants of the industry, of course, but he is now using his skills and accumulated knowledge to help Timberline Resources find a meaningful gold deposit. And by the looks of things, he and his company are having a great deal of early success on its Eureka project in Nevada. Before I say hello to Patrick, I'd just like to pass along a couple of key metrics here. The company trades in the U.S. under the symbol TLRS. You can buy it in Canada under TBR. About 158 million shares outstanding. That's after a financing that was announced just yesterday, a 4.7 million financing. When I checked a little earlier today in U.S. money, the stock was a mere 21 cents, giving it a market cap somewhere around, $33 million or so in U.S. money. So it's a really baby company. It's a minuscule market cap. But I think when you hear the story, you're going to think maybe it's one that you should pay some attention to. Thanks for joining me, Patrick.
Thank you, Jay. It's always good to be here.
It's always good to have you with us to talk about this exciting story. You did just announced yesterday $4.7 million financing. What can you tell us about that raise, the purposes of it, of course, and maybe who was involved and who are the major owners of your company now?
Last night when I was
absolutely, Jay, yesterday we did announce the closing of a financing just under $4.8 million U.S. Jay, we did that at 25 cents U.S. or 31 cents Canadian. It's equivalent in Canadian dollars. And really, it was orchestrated to facilitate a major investment, Jay, from a fund out of Ireland called the Jupiter Gold and Silver Fund. They are focused on precious metals, both mining equities, ETFs, and the metals themselves, and a real true precious metal fund of significant size. And they're now a 9.9% owner of Timberline on an issued and outstanding basis, and we're really proud to have them on board. And combined with Prescott Capital, who remains our largest outside shareholder, we have about more than 15% at the board level, and then we have Prescott Capital and Jupiter as our largest institutional shareholders. So this was really a fit-for-purpose financing, Jay, based on the results we've announced in the first quarter from the Eureka project. We ripped into some fantastic holes there from a zone we call the Waterwell Zone. We'll talk a little bit about those, I'm sure. But those results got some attention on us and a lot of good meetings, a lot of interaction with institutional investors that led to this financing with a 25-cent price on it and no warrant. So I think given the volatility we see in this market and a bit of the fear factor. Everyone knows gold is going higher, but risk swings into the off and on sort of almost a daily basis, Jay. And,
right. Yeah.
We feel quite positive about closing this financing with such quality investors with no warrant at a time like this to put more than $5 million in our treasury now, well over $5 million U.S. to fund a robust exploration program that's starting this month in the middle of May.
Right. And of course, you, as you mentioned, you had some really, really encouraging results from the Waterwell Zone earlier, I guess, last year. You reported, I can't remember exactly the dates, although maybe early this year, actually, February and March. Yeah. And, I'm looking at 44 meters of 4.1 grams per ton. It included 12.2 meters of 9.2 grams per ton, yet another 41 meter intersection, 5 grams per ton, and 19.8 meters of 9.5 grams per ton, the same drill hole, I believe, both of those. So these are really encouraging, and this is the Waterwell Zone. Was this the first of the really high-grade holes that have been hit on your Eureka project?
You know, Jay, for those not familiar, the Eureka project's been around for a while. It has a resource that is was generally regarded as potentially heap leachable, Jay. It was lower grade. Yeah. A lot of oxide in that resource of about 500,000 ounces of gold at 0.62 grams, but it does comes to the surface. But it has some higher grade roots, Jay. So we followed the higher grade beneath that, in that resource and beneath it, out to the east here into this Waterwell Zone. So it adjoins the resource, but it is not part of it yet. So this is a real chance to add tons and grade. And I think what we've learned, Jay, in the last, you know, sort of 18 months since I got involved and since Quentin Henny got involved with us as an advisor and a director, is the controls on the high grade are much better understood now. We know we're chasing a certain family of rocks out to the east here. The top of this high-grade zone is not even very deep, Jay, at 140 meters below surface.
What are you doing up here?
On the north end. It does get deeper as you go south. Those two holes you mentioned are at the north and south end of it. So what it is, Jay, is a better understanding of the geology, new application of geophysical tools and geological modeling to project this trend out to the east, get these holes into it. And really, if you add that to some of the first drilling we did at the end of 2020, I think it was, where we drilled about 15 meters of 10 grams very near surface. So that was a 150-gram-meter hole on a great thickness basis. We have here 180-plus gram-meters in one of these holes and over 200 gram-meters in the other. So I think it's a paradigm shift that we're seeing, Jay, where grade thickness is now expressing itself as an important driver on this thing. We have high grades over greater thicknesses, and we understand why, and I think we can be predictive now on the geology so and where to go next. And that's why we're so excited to start filling in between these holes and stepping out around them, because it's just wide open, this water well zone on both the north and the south and even out to the east. So a lot of potential to grow this thing, Jay. And I think all credit to the geologists for applying themselves and the whole team, myself included, to figure this out.
Ken, those holes that I just mentioned, I think they are – how far apart? They're fairly far apart. I can't remember what the dimensions are. And can you give us some sense of the strike length of this target?
Yeah, those holes, interestingly, Jay, the northernmost hole was a step out of 150 meters. There had been no drilling, and we hit into that zone. And then the southern hole, the one that was 41 meters of over 5 grams, is 400 meters, about 410 meters south. So that is the southernmost hole in the zone. And in between, we have a number of hits that folks can see in our presentation and in our news releases. We have hit other nice intercepts in between, but most of those were reverse circulation holes. And recent work is suggesting the core – these are drill core, these are diamond core holes, is returning a better sampling of the gold, more representative grades, Jay. So we're going to do some work in between to fill in core holes there. But to answer your question, you've got a strike length north to south now of a bit over 400 meters, anchored at both ends by some good high grade. And the zone, from a width point of view, it's still open to the east, but it's certainly along the order of 250 meters, something like that. But certainly we're still finding the eastern limits, and we do have some indications that the system keeps going out there. But it gets a little deeper, and we'll need to test those limits, both north, south, and east. And that's what the 2022 drill program will be about, in part.
And these Carlin-style deposits, they can have quite a bit of thickness, a vertical extent, right?
Indeed, they can, Jay. We're in a favorable part of the Cambrian. Those are older rocks in Nevada. They are limestones, dolomites, shales, things like that. And what we're looking for is the right, most favorable host rocks. But where they cross faults, Jay, these faults are like plumbing, and so these deposits can have quite a bit of vertical extent, because these faults are the pipelines really that bring the fluids into these rocks. And so we just saw presentations this morning at the conference I told you I'm attending about some of the other big discoveries in Nevada, and the interaction of these faults with the favorable host rocks is the key in Carlin-type gold systems. And I think folks can appreciate from looking at our presentation that we know these rocks host gold now. We know they host high grade, and it's a matter of unraveling the best place to drill next to maximize our exposure to those faults, which are the good plumbing, and to the favorable host rocks, which are like the sponges that soak up these fluids. So that's our plan. That's our plan, to look for the thickest parts and the highest grade parts.
Well, in addition to your water well zone, there's other targets there as well. And are you planning to drill into those, perhaps explore those a little bit this year as well in your drill program?
Indeed, we're hard at work on the budget right now, just having closed this financing. But we will obviously focus on this high-grade zone at the water well, where we have to both fill in and between them and step out to extend it. But we do have another exciting prospect just across the valley, 1.5 kilometers away, called Oswego, where folks can see in our December news release, we announced surface sampling of long runs of 12 to 14 grams gold in one area and nice true thicknesses of sort of 8 to 11 meters of sort of 3 gram mineralization of oxide mineralization at surface. We put 6 holes into that zone, Jay, to test that. And those are the last assays to come in here. And it'd be, I would say very soon in May, we expect to have a news release on how that turned out at Oswego. It's likely we'll apply some of this budget to keep advancing that Oswego target, based obviously on what the drilling is telling us so far. And then there's the historic Windfall Mine, another historic Nevada producer, which is only 3 or 4 kilometers northeast of the water well zone, still on this giant Eureka property, where we also expect to do the first drilling in a number of years, following up on intercepts of over 20 meters of 3 grams, which haven't seen any drilling in 3 or 4 years, Jay. So it's it's 70 square kilometers, this property, 25 square miles. And a lot of areas to explore. But the idea is, I think, to balance. Drill where you know this gold is, advance the water well zone towards a resource, but also remind the market that there's still exploration to do out here. And we'll be stepping into some of these new areas. Maybe it's 60% of our focus will be at the water well zone nearby to the resource where all that high grade is, and maybe 20% on exciting targets like Oswego and Windfall.
Right. So as this Oswego, do you think, is it a similar Carlin style target, and might it be part of the same gigantic system? Or is that just too early to know, I suppose? Yeah.
Well, it's definitely Carlin type. We do know that, Jay, and the rocks are substantially similar. And in fact, it's on a big fault that dips to the west. So in other words, towards the lookout and water well areas, it sort of, so, and then in the middle, we've done a bit of drilling and we've reported some interesting intrusive rocks there. And we have a big geophysical anomaly between the two systems, Jay. So in actual fact, the symmetry of Oswego being on the east side and water well being on the west side of this big geophysical anomaly has us pretty excited that they may well be connected at depth. And there's some really attractive host rocks down there that we know host Carlin type mineralization just north of us at I-80 Gold's very large Ruby Hill Archimedes project just to the north of us here. Those are good host rocks. We know they're down there, and we've got to get holes into those as well. So same type of mineralization, perhaps part of the same big system, Jay. So another reason to be excited about the size potential of what we're doing here.
Yeah, for sure. Well, how soon might the drills start to turn, Patrick?
We do have drills under contract, and as you know, that could be a challenge in this market. Yeah. There's still a lot of exploration going on out here. So we have our first rig showing up in the middle of May and the second rig later in the month. So drilling is imminent, you know, sort of 2 weeks away. We should have the core rig turning in the water well zone.
Right. Well, $33 million market cap at a time now when the market isn't overly excited about gold stocks, to say the least, the general exploration story. So what might investors keep an eye out for now? I believe you still have some assays maybe that you're waiting on. Is that true?
That's right. There'll be some more technical news this month, Jay. As I mentioned, Oswego, we've still got a few holes there. They were shallow RC holes, but the first holes ever there by Timberline. So those will be coming probably before the end of May. And then we'll certainly have an announcement of the scope and scale of this program with a few maps so people can follow along as we get the assays flowing here. You'll recall we didn't get drilling till late last year in the summer and fall. So we're really excited to be cashed up in time for a full summer program and a lot of excitement awaits. So good technical news flow, some more here in May, an update with an overview of the program and drilling all summer and into the fall.
I believe about a 7,000 meter or 22,000 foot program. Is that what you've got planned? That's what you're budgeting for?
That's right, Jay. It's only about maybe a 20% increase over last year. But the reason for that is we're drilling a lot more core. Your listeners will know drill core is more expensive than reverse circulation, but it produces a higher quality sample and more geological information. So we're doing a lot more drill core this year, and the total program will be on the order of 20% bigger than last year. As you say, about 7,000 meters something.
It'd be a little bigger than last year, but you're drilling into an area now that you've honed in on, and it should be very exciting. I think maybe perhaps a higher probability of really nice, luscious drill results coming back. We'll certainly be watching closely for it. Patrick, anything else quickly before we leave?
Well, no. It's a great kickoff to the season here. As I told you, we're out at the Geological Society of Nevada meeting in Reno. Our friend Quentin Henney is here speaking at a luncheon tomorrow. And I just want to say, great energy, 1,400 explorers in this building. A lot of nerdy geological talk happening. And a lot of interested eyes are looking at Timberline's rocks. We've got a core shack here showing off some of this beautiful drill core. So it's a great way to kick off the season and, frankly, to get back to face-to-face conferences with our colleagues here. So great kickoff to the season.
Yeah, probably a lot of our listeners don't understand or can't quite comprehend how excited geologists get when they see certain kinds of rocks, you know. Some
for sure. Yeah, it's a phenomenon to behold. It is indeed.
Very interesting. Thank you so much, Patrick, for being with us, and we'll look to keep up with this story as the months and weeks and months unfold. Thank you so much.
Thank you.